So as I said, Pakistan's former military ruler Pervez Musharraf has been charged over the murder of former Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto. She was assassinated in a gun and bomb attack after her campaigning for elections in Rawalpindi in 2007. It's one of a series of court cases that Musharraf has faced since returning from a self-imposed exile earlier this year. And joining us now to discuss it is Time magazine's Pakistan correspondent Omar Warash. Omar, thank you so much for your time. Is this these charges, which seem very significant for a former ruler of Pakistan, are they a political statement or purely a legal one?
Thank you for having me. I think they're a bit of both in this case. As you mentioned, the assassination of Benazir Bhutto happened back in 2007. At the time, General Musharraf was the military ruler. Now, and as you mentioned earlier, it's very, very sort of, it seems quite implausible that he would have been directly involved, but I think the charges have come about because General Musharraf was seen to be negligent in terms of Benazir Bhutto's own security. In fact, a UN report that looked into this said that he had deliberately withheld security from her. She wasn't given adequate security in Pakistan and made left vulnerable to the attack. But at the same time, there is a political element to this. These cases are being pushed forward by judges who were sacked by Pervez Musharraf, so their decisions are certainly inflected by an element of revenge. And of course, the Prime Minister at the time is Nawaz Sharif, the man who General Musharraf ousted in a coup in 1999 when he first came to power.
So where does this go then, considering all those tentacles?
Well, I think General Musharraf's main problem is that he's become completely isolated politically. There is no one standing up for him. The political classes, all of the other political parties are either quiet or support the move. The judges they seem determined to hold him to account for a number of charges. And the army, the institution he led for several years, has so far shown no signs of intervening on his behalf. So it looks like he's going to be facing legal miseries for the foreseeable future. But I think the standards of evidence for him being prosecuted in this case are a bit high, and it's unlikely that we'll see him convicted.
Oh, really? Okay. Is that because the evidence really isn't there?
Yeah, the evidence, I mean, it's not really there. So far, the judges have acted on the basis of statements that other people made in terms of Musharraf denying people security, the statements brought forward by Benazir Bhutto's supporters, and the behavior of the local authorities on the day of the incident itself in terms of hosing down the crime scene, which, you know, obviously doesn't put General Musharraf in a good light. If he's the ruler, it's Rawalpindi, it's where the military's headquarters are. He was the army chief at the time, and this happened on his watch. So he doesn't look good in terms of the way he handled the situation, but whether he's culpable is a different matter. However, there are other cases against him, and it looks like within these legal tangles, and it just makes one think, why did General Musharraf hazard the journey back home from exile?
I've never been able to understand that. I've never understood why he would put himself at risk in this way with no political support. Can you shed any light on it?
Well, I've spoken to some of his supporters and his erstwhile supporters, and some of them ascribe the decision to vanity. They say here was a man who was supremely powerful in Pakistan. He felt that he'd done a whole bunch of good. He felt that he'd been hard done by in his last year when he had to leave. And watching the dismal performance of the last government of Benazir's widower, Asif Ali Zardari, in power for 5 years, he thought, with a hint of megalomania there, that he could actually do something and that people actually liked him. Other people point to the fact that he constantly talks about his hundreds of thousands of Facebook supporters. The problem is that, you know, people who support him on Facebook don't usually come out and vote, and they certainly won't come out into the streets to defend him in this case.
And they also don't make decisions in courts, which is presumably what he'd really, really need right now. I note that Nawaz Sharif wants Musharraf to stand trial for treason. Now, that would really raise the stakes. Do you think there's any prospect of that happening?
Well, that's the one. Of the cases that he's facing, I think that's the one where he's most vulnerable. The treason charge comes from, it's the punishment given for subverting the Constitution, which he manifestly did both when he mounted his first coup in October 1999, and then when he imposed a state of emergency in November 2007. I mean, there's no disputing that. Even his lawyers don't dispute that this is what happened, that he suspended the Constitution. So he's certainly liable there. The judge seems to be very determined to get him somehow. There are real questions about whether General Musharraf can get a fair trial under these judges, because they seem to be pursuing at least, or their decisions seem to be influenced by at least by an element of revenge. However, if they were to go further along that course, who knows what will happen? At some point, there may be pressure from within the army to react somehow. The army jealously guards the reputations of its former army chiefs, and it wouldn't like to set this kind of precedent where one of the longest-serving army chiefs has his wrists clasped in cold metal.
Yes, but if he has no political allies, then I suppose that makes it slightly more tolerable, even for an institution like the military, which raises the questions, do the reverberations from this begin and end with Musharraf, really, or do they sound more broadly in the political and military culture of Pakistan?
Well, what the politicians are saying, and Nawaz Sharif's government's particularly saying, is they're trying to make it out that these were the decisions of Musharraf as an individual. And they're trying to make him out as an aberrational army chief. They're making the case that you have professional army chiefs who stay out of politics, and once in a while you've had people like Musharraf who've decided to promote themselves to the position of president and rule as dictators. And so they're very, very closely focused on that, and they've been very, very careful in their language not to target the rest of the military. What they're hoping to do with that is get a response from the army to say, we've moved on, we are now a professional army, we're not like the Egyptian army, we're not looking to come back into politics, and if this is what the courts and the law of the land says, then fine. I mean, of course, this is the army had tried to persuade General Musharraf not to return to Pakistan. They feared this kind of situation. They feared that he would also taint the institution by extension. Subsequently, when he was in jail during the elections, they also said, you know, before the new government comes in, he should think of a way out. And Musharraf rebuffed them. He said he's going to face the charges. So on both sides, there is an impression that both the military and the government will put this all down to one man's foolish vanity.
That's what happens when you're isolated. Omar, thank you so much for your insights. Great to talk to you.
Thanks for your time.
Cheers. That's Omar Waresh, who's Time magazine's Pakistan correspondent. It's just gone 7:15.